Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for that eternal truth, that you take care of your own. We thank you for that. And we pray, Father, whatever we're facing here with this new trial that's come into our nation, that we as Christians would shine, that we'd be sensitive to other people, we would not be flippant, that we'd be concerned, and that, Father, we'd have an opportunity to share what's most important, that God will take care of us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for the way in which you provided over all these years, especially in the way of salvation, that you've given your Son for us. Thank you that you love us that much. We thank you for our time together here as a church. And we ask, Lord, your blessing upon it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. The character that we're going to be looking at in the Bible this morning is Samson. I want you to understand something about Samson right up front, in case you're not familiar with Samson. You might think you saw some picture in a Sunday school class or something, or some advertisement, and Samson's this great big rugged guy. He's got muscles. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was younger. Sometimes a character will come on TV that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'll turn to Paul and I say, "Doesn't that remind you of how I looked when we were dating?" No. 6'1", 150 pounds. No, there wasn't any room for muscles on that frame. Neither was Samson, a great big rugged guy. They didn't know where his strength came from. They were trying to figure out where his strength came from. So he wasn't built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. When people looked at Goliath, they knew where his strength came from because he's 9 feet tall and his armament is of tremendous weight and he's built like a Sherman tank. But that wasn't the case with Samson. But Samson is an example of what not to be, because he was given a gift from God. He was given a responsibility and he was flippant about that. And he sold his life to lust and not to do the will of God. And that's a tragedy when a believer does that. When God gives us a life and we take it and we throw it away, that's a tragedy. The truth of the matter is, a lot of Christians are doing that. They do believe, but they don't live it. The consequences of that are eternal. Again, one of my favorite words is collateral damage. It's not just the damage we do to ourselves, because we do damage to ourselves, but it's also the damage we do to others. Because we're supposed to be, as Christians, the light of the world. And if that's taken away from us because of our own foolishness, that's quite a loss. That's pretty much, in a nutshell, the story of Samson. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible. And Samson is found in 4 chapters in the Old Testament. His name is mentioned 38 times. Judges 13, 14, 15, 16. But the New Testament, his name is mentioned one time, and it's found here in Hebrews chapter 11. And you know about Hebrews chapter 11. It's the faith chapter of the Bible. Verse 32, the writer says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." That's the only mention we have, but it's found in this chapter on faith. Because when Samson used what God had given him, there were tremendous results. But when Samson lived for the flesh, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it was tragic, not just for him, but for his parents, for his nation, and for the world in which he lived. We can just touch on that because we're just doing a different person every week, so it's not going to be a series. So if you want to know the rest of the story, then you're going to have to read Judges 13, 14, 15, 16. But back at that verse, Hebrews 11, 32, the writer said, time would fail me. There are so many other people that acted upon what God told them and had tremendous results, were a real blessing. You might be one of them. Someday we'll find out. So important to do what God says. God could use somebody like Samson. God could use somebody like me. God could use somebody like you. Even though we failed so much in the past and we've fallen short and we've messed up some things, God can still use us if we act on faith and not by sight. In that verse, there's Gideon. He was a chicken. He really was just afraid, and he had every reason to be. But God used him. God used him mightily when he acted upon what God said. Barak is always hiding behind a woman's skirt. Deborah, He wouldn't go to battle unless she did. It just showed the signs of the times when there weren't any good men. There were good women, but there weren't any good men. Deborah was a good woman, and Barak was willing to follow her. He should have taken responsibility on himself, but he didn't. But he's there because he believed, and he was successful because of that. Jephthah was there, and his mother was a prostitute. How would you like to start out life like that? Hard to say really who his father was. There's a lot of speculation on that, but he became a judge in Israel. Difficult individual, but whenever he believed God, they had victory over the enemy. So that was by faith. David, we looked at him in Sunday school this morning. He's a great example of Christ, but personally, he wasn't a great example because he had all those wives. You're only supposed to have one. That's the way it started, but he had a whole mess of wives. One time he played insane, and he wasn't. That took place. He has in his background adultery. And then he murdered somebody. But he's there in faith because when he acted upon what God said, he had tremendous results. It's not rocket science. If God says it, do it. Or go your own way, do your own thing. Well, good luck with that. Be like Samson. Didn't have much luck with that. Samuel is there, and he lost his kids to evil. We don't know why, because he was such a great man of God, but he lost his kids. Just because you are right with God doesn't mean your kids are going to be right with God. They have a mind of their own, and they have a free will, and you can't change that. And then there's Samson, our man for today. Samson. Anyone's life covers such a brief period of time. You ever watch the bull riders on TV? I get a kick out of them because they're the ones that get hurt, not me. I just enjoy watching it. A few seconds on that bull. Somebody was saying they actually tie the rein around their thumb. That's why a lot of bull riders no longer have the short, thick first digit of the human hand. But anyway, the gate opens and out they come. And that bull just kicking and thrashing and they're riding. And next thing you know, the rider is thrown. Then the clowns rush out to distract the bull away from the injured rider, who may very well be lying on the ground. Didn't last long, did it? Huh? Life doesn't last long. What is life? It's like a vapor. It says, appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Life is very, very short. John MacArthur, a Bible commentator, said, all of these men listed in this verse held a position of power and authority, but none of them is praised for his personal status or abilities. Instead, they are recognized for what each one had accomplished by faith in God. God's the one who is praised for their being found in this great chapter on faith. Not them, God. Can you imagine what would happen if we believed and acted on the Word of God? We have a ministry in two nursing homes and we have a Bible study, and I've preached a lot of funerals for a lot of different people in a lot of different places. Always try to make sure the gospel is clear, because the gospel is everything. I have come across a lot of people that like it to a point. But usually, this is what they find. When it comes to salvation, it's too easy. Too easy. Yeah, because they want to be a part. They want to have God recognize some sacrifice in their life or some ability, and that's the reason why they can be right with God. And that's not possible. That's impossible. We don't have anything to offer God. Zero. When it comes to salvation, He has everything to offer us, and we have nothing to offer Him. We just bring to Him a broken life, a bunch of sin. And He's willing to take that and to take His righteousness, which He has, we don't have it, and give it to us. People have a hard time understanding that our role in our salvation is based on our acceptance that He did it all. We need to believe that when Jesus said, "It is finished," all the work was done. I understand the reluctance people have to totally trust that the penalty for our sin has been paid in full. Not many things in this life are free, but God calls salvation a gift. A gift is not a gift if you have to work for it or buy it. Christ's death on the cross was a conundrum to me. I had no understanding of who He really was until at the age of 21. I realized He was more than just a teacher of religion. He was the very Son of God, who was willing to be the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of mankind. As the Son of God, he could have called 10,000 angels to set him free, but he chose to remain there on that cross for you and me. Acts 2:23 in the English Standard Version says, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." I saw my lost condition, and Luke 19:10 assured me that the Son of Man, another name given to Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. I was lost. I wasn't just a little bit lost, but I was really lost, and that's the only way to be found, is to acknowledge His saving grace. It made sense. I long to see more people understand His great love for us. Can you imagine what would happen if we believed and acted on what God said about salvation? Can you imagine what would happen if we believed what God said about sin? If we weren't flippant about sin? Adam and Eve didn't rob a bank. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't steal. God said, "Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And they did exactly that. And you know, because of that, we're all going to die. And because of that, people are going to get sick. And because of that, sin entered the world, and what a mess the world's been since that time. Sin's an awful thing. Sin does a lot of damage. Sin damages our psyche. Sin damages our body. Sin damages our families, our communities. Sin does a lot of damage. Can you imagine if people would embrace what the Word of God has to say about sin, how we could change things? Because, you know, whatever the problem is, it usually comes back to some sin somewhere by somebody. Can you imagine what would happen if we believed and acted upon what God said about sanctification? That's a big word, sanctification. Some people have a hard time with that, but sanctification simply means being set apart for God, making the right decisions in relation to God. In the course of our journey, Paul and I, in life, once we realized we were sinners and took Christ as our Savior, we realized that we had to make some changes in our home, in our habits, and it was one thing after another, and we're here because sanctification was a real thing. And we believe what the Bible said about that. We believe that we need to deal with some things in our life and be different. You know, not for the sake of just being different, but because that's what God wanted from His Word. That's what He says. Can you imagine what would happen if we believed and acted upon what God said about separation? Can you believe that? We are to be separate. In my own personal life, I enjoyed drinking. I tried marijuana, but it interfered with my drinking. So I never really, you know, knew what it would do. But anyway, I remember the last time I was in the bar, I saw myself in the mirror. I said to myself, "You don't belong here." I enjoyed bars. I mean, they were my favorite places to be. But I didn't belong there because I knew Christ. It just wasn't the place for me. I'm not condemning everybody else who was in the bar, but I had no business in the bar because of what that was going to lead to. Can you imagine if we did what God said about separation? And then lastly, can you imagine if we believe God in what He says about service? Service. We were watching a program just the other day, and this fellow had joined the Marine Corps. He would get through the whole deal and was a nuisance. It got so bad that he was discharged, dishonorably discharged. And he fought it so hard, they got sick of him, and they just took out the dishonorable and put discharge just so that he wouldn't do any more legal actions against them, which I guess they can do today. Good riddance. But there are people that join the Marine Corps, and they finish, and they do well, and they have an honorable discharge, and they have all the things that go along with that. They serve well. So both people served, but one served well, and one was a nuisance. Can you imagine if we did what God called us to do in relation to service? How we serve God. Because we all serve God. If you're a believer, you're serving God every day. When you go into the workplace, you say, "Well, yeah, but I work for this company or that." It doesn't make any difference. Every day, you as a Christian serve God in some capacity. You think it's the guy behind the pulpit, or the guy that goes on the mission field, or the girl that goes on the mission field, but it's every one of us as Christians. Every one of us has a field of service. Every one of us has a circle of influence, a connection to people we could impact for good or for evil. And we should be found serving. That's the thing with Samson. Holy words. They're not just words. It's not just a book. There's something about that book. Something about the Word of God. There's something about what can happen to you going through Samuel. There's something about the impact that the book of Samuel is going to have on your life, or Ephesians, or Philippians, or John. They are ancient words, long preserved. The scriptures are going to still be here. We're gone. The Bible will still be here. People try to get rid of that. People say, you never understand it. We understand it because we're religious, but you'll never understand it. Don't read it. It'll make you do crazy stuff. But the Bible is the Word of God. Now, some people hear God speak and all that, but God gave us His Word. Why would we have the Word of God if we can just hear it like that? Put on a CD and stick it inside your head somewhere and let it play. Not like that. The Word of God resounds with God's own heart. It's not what we say about it. It's not what religion says about it. It's not what pastoral theology says about it. It's not what people who write commentaries say about it. It can't be bound in somebody's thinking because it's the Word of God. It just needs to be read. And along with the reading, you need to believe it. You need to believe what it says. And listen, that's not always easy. It's not always easy to believe what the Word of God said. We memorize Scripture. It's a hard thing to memorize Scripture. I can see in your faces, some of you, you hurt. But you know something. It's not the memorization of Scripture. It's doing what it says. You don't have to memorize Scripture. It's good to, and we're told to, but you don't have to. But what we do have to do is we have to do what it says. That's the hard part. Changing me, changing you. Judges chapter 13, you want to turn back there? And remember what was said about the time period of the book of Judges. And here's the time period. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I can't emphasize that enough. And by the way, we live in a time just like that. We live in a time where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. I was just thinking of a little thing like medication. The Chinese are producing approximately 80% of our medications. And if you're a thinking person, you say to yourself, how did we allow that to happen? Well, there were people that knew that that was happening, and they didn't do anything about it. Because it benefited them to allow it to happen. And now we're stuck. The Chinese could shut us off. I just hope they're not making omeprazole, because I need that to drink coffee. But you never know. Might have to quit drinking coffee. How'd that happen? Because there are people that did not do their job. They didn't. Because they did what was right in their own eyes. Not in what's right for everybody, not what's right before God, but what's right in their own eyes. And you hear that today. Well, that might be right for you, but it's not right for me here. Don't judge me in that. That kind of stuff. Really. Because you do what's right in your own eyes. So everybody decides what's right. How's that working out? In Judges 13, we read about Samson's birth. Verse 1, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. God does that. When you watch Fox News or CNN or CBS and you see what's going on in the world, you say, oh, this and that, and this has happened because of that. But I'll tell you something, the hand of God is on all of this. God makes your friends, God makes your foes. God's will is being done. Why not get in on His program? God's in charge of that. Verse 2. Now there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall, I made this bold for emphasis in my notes, begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Begin to deliver him. Not deliver him, begin to deliver him. Now, if she was listening, I don't think she was, because she'd probably be happy she's having a son. But if she was listening really closely, she'd realize that this son is only going to begin delivering the children of Israel from the Philistines. Back to that passage we just read, it's a time of evil. That just evil reigns. Hey, folks, we live in a time when evil reigns. I mean, it rains on TV, it rains on Facebook, it rains in conversation. We live in a time when evil reigns. Evil's having a good time reigning. And that was a time in which they lived too. But in that, God's making a move. See, God's making a move. God was willing, in spite of the willfulness of men in that time period to still intervene. God's making a choice. Who's going to have this boy, this special boy, Samson? Here's a couple. They haven't had any children. They've gone to see the specialist and all that. They've tried everything, but nothing's working. They're childless. They're not going to have kids. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to them and says, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a boy. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells you where people come from. Oh, I thought, yeah, he probably did. And, you know, that's part of it, sure. Truth of the matter is, God brings kids in the world. Yeah. God does that. And sometimes we wonder why God allows some to have children and others not to. But kids come from God. Samson came from God. God's making a move. You know, we want to see, what's Trump going to say? What's the leader of China going to say? What's Putin going to say? What's the guy in England going to say? Yeah. What's God saying? What's God doing? How does this connect with what God's doing? God gave him advice on diet. Don't eat anything unclean. Drink no wine or similar drink. This was good prenatal care. Prenatal care. I never had any myself personally. God's given prenatal care. That's good advice, by the way. I've seen a few individuals in my life, adults, they're just a mess because of what their mother did before they were born. Had they read Judges 13 and believed it, that wouldn't have happened to that individual. Call that collateral damage. And the child was to be a Nazarite. In other words, he was to be separated to God. There were certain things about a Nazarite, but one thing that really stuck out, and it was more than just the hair, was the fact that that individual was separated unto God. That individual was to serve God with his entire life. Nazarite. By the way, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to serve God too. This was God's input into that time period. However, Samson was going to have an input also. Because here's the deal. God has a will, and we have a will. If we could bring our will in line with God's will, we could have quite a fruitful life, but if it's our will to live according to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, then that's going to bring some confusion in the thing. Begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You think that we're having a boy. Yeah, wonderful. Hope he looks like my side of the family. Wonder what his future is going to be like. How are we going to educate him? All that kind of stuff. You never know, huh? You never know till it's over. Chapter 14, verse 1. Last year of high school. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Oh, wait a second. I thought he was supposed to destroy the Philistines. I thought he was supposed to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And he's looking at Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah, the daughter of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren and among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? We call that logic. We call that a mother and father knowing better. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Oh, I know. It's hard to keep anything away from Junior, especially when Junior wants that so badly, or Sarah. To see his or her heart broken, it breaks our heart. And we just want to see him happy all the time. Imagine getting everything you want. There was an advertisement on TV. It says, imagine getting everything you want. So I'm supposed to go, yeah. You fly somewhere to some island down the South Pacific and you get everything you want. What if you got everything you want? See, Samson wanted her. And he talked to his parents. You got to get her for me because that's what I want. Well, you wouldn't want to break little Samson's heart. You wouldn't want to do that. So they got her. Get her for me. That's what he said. Get her for me. Call it the pressure of having offspring. The pressure of having offspring. You don't decide what they get. They decide what they get. You don't give them advice. They give you advice. That's what happened to Samson. A little bit of responsibility to share here. Now, Samson had a free will, but so did his parents. They didn't have to do that. But they did that because that's what Samson wanted. He's an only child. What if you turn against us? You know, that kind of stuff. The pressure of having offspring. There's only one thing greater than the pressure of having offspring. your children. That's the pressure of having grandchildren. Because the grandparents don't care because they don't have to take them home. Grandparents don't have to live with the mistakes. So they make it worse for everybody else. It's the way it is. We got a little experience with that. You ever had any experience with that? Just do it. Someday you wake up and you're 60-some years old and you look back and say, you know, I didn't believe him, but he's right. The kids shouldn't be telling the parents what to do. The parents should be telling the kids what to do. The kids don't know right from wrong. The parents know right from wrong. The parents should have a standard. And when you look at the life of Samson, you see that. Chapter 14, verse 8. Here's our boy. And after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. He had killed the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. And he took some of it in his hands, and he went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. What a way to use your parents. Huh? He's a Nazarite that puts his hands in dead things. You're not supposed to do that. It's not good for a Nazarite. What are you doing? You ever been caught as a Christian doing something wrong? I see that hand. What are you doing? Why do you do that? You're a Christian. You're not supposed to do that. You shouldn't do that. That's what he did. He didn't care. Didn't care about what? Didn't care about being a Nazarite. Didn't care that God had chosen him for a specific function in God's eternal plan. Didn't care. Wow. Sharing it with mom and dad. He knew their standard. Share that with mom and dad. Disrespect for parents. Such a sordid story. We don't have time to go into it all, but such a sordid story about his life. His father-in-law gives his wife away because Samson's been gone. His companion, his best friend, a Philistine. Got a best friend as a Philistine. And he takes her for his wife. What a novel thing to do to your friend. What are friends for? Well, sometimes it works out well, though. I'm just saying, yeah, that's what happened. So his father-in-law, his friend, you say to yourself, did he ever have a friend? King David had a friend, Jonathan. Samson never had a friend. Samson had a lot of enemies, and he was the biggest one, but not very many friends. His demeanor, disrespect for parents, disrespect for God, life lived for lust. He was lazy. You know he's lazy? Three times. Delilah was talking. I was going to sing the song. I don't have time to sing it this morning, but 1960, this guy came out with a song, Delilah. He was lazy because three times she tried to find out where his strength came from, and twice he lied to her, but the third time he told her the truth because he was lazy. Sometimes people say, why don't you do what's wrong? No. Why don't you do what's wrong? No. Why don't you do what's wrong? Okay. I just don't want to hear that anymore. So I just do what's wrong. It's better. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice because they had him. The Philistines said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands the hands of our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. This is how it ends for Samson. Samson, he's blind. He's being led by a kid. He's bound. He's being mocked and ridiculed. The Philistines are having a great time with him. He has become entertainment for them. And this is how the end of his life comes. And then he prays to God. You'd have to read it, but he prays to God, and he asks God to give him an opportunity to begin delivering them from the Philistines. It's his last prayer. He brings the house down on the Philistines, kills a lot of major players in the kingdom. Did a lot. That was quite a prayer. And God answered that prayer. You know why God answered that prayer? How do we start? We start with faith. Samson prayed according to faith, and God answered that prayer. And he began to deliver the nation of Israel from the Philistines. It's not complicated. You pray according to the will of God, and you act upon it. If he'd have looked at these Philistine women and said, now, Lord, I'd like to have one of those women, but I know it's wrong, and I'm lusting after that woman. Deliver me from my lust. You know what God would have done? God would have delivered him. Peter prayed and said, Lord, I'm disrespecting my parents and I'm putting them in an awkward position and I want to do that. And I really need some help with this. You know what God would have done? He'd have helped him with that. He wouldn't have to go to AA meetings for 10 years. God would have helped him with that. God can do that. if you pray according to the will of God. Didn't have to end like that. Didn't have to be like that at all. And again, it was just a brief period of time. You're talking decades, which is nothing. I mean, it was something when you were 20, but it's nothing when you're 70. It's like, wow, where'd I go? Time is fleeting. One might feel like Rip Van Winkle, who woke up after sleeping for 20 years to find life drastically changed. Wow, that went by fast. Samson dies with the Philistines when the building collapses after he pushed out the supports. You see, what's portrayed about Samson and what the Bible says is two different things. But there are some tremendous lessons that we can get from the life of Samson. And I pray that we did this morning. I pray that God spoke to us this morning. And listen, here's the biggest thing. Even if you've blown it all these years, even as a Christian, and you don't have anything to show for it, it's not too late because you're still alive. You could do something if you act on God's will and not your own. If you don't let the flesh take control. If you take your eyes off of those things of the world that have nothing to offer. If you do that, that's a big word, if. That's one of the biggest words in the Bible, that word if. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's full of opportunities for us to make a difference in our age. And I pray, Father, we would make a difference. We'd fight the fight, finish the course, keep the faith. Someday, Father, we stand in your presence. We'd be winners. How we pray that for each one here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.